when you come to LA, you just have stars in your eyes. Like, I'm here. Yeah. This is it. Yeah. I'm going to make my dreams a reality. Mm-hmm. This is what God is calling me to do.
Yeah.
You're just so excited. And then it hits you real quick. Reality, it is not easy. There's God so many people.
God gave everybody the same dream.
Right.
What's up?
Hey, Mom.
What's up?
Hey, Mom.
What's up?
Hey, Mom.
What's up?
Hey, Mom. What's
up? Welcome back to Moms Actually. My name is Morgan.
And I am Blair.
And we have here Leanne.
Yes.
Thank you so much
so
for coming.
So excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Introduce yourself really quick. Brag on yourself. This is your moment.
Yes. My name is Leanne V. I'm from Northern California. I am in social media. I do a lot of beauty, fashion, fitness, lifestyle, family, everything.
Run down the list.
Social media.
Yeah, so we are so excited to have you. Thank you so much for coming to sit on the couch with us. You guys know the drill. We're going to have some good, candid conversation. Yes. So let's just jump right into our game. It's Giving Motherhood. Are you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
You're like, what is this?
So you were asking about the paddles.
Paddles. Yep. She's like, what's this?
What is this?
You're about to find out.
All right, here we go.
So this is our little icebreaker game so we can get to know each other a little bit more. So the first, the gold side is going to be your yes or the first option. The white side is going to be your no. Or
yes
the second
or no.
option.
Okay, yes, yes. No,
I feel like first, we're in
second. Yes, no, first, second.
All right.
And then just ask if you gets confused.
Oh, yeah.
But
got it.
The secret to this game is your first answer is the right answer.
Okay.
Trust your gut.
Here we go. Let's do this.
Do you believe in traditional gender roles?
Yes.
What, like?
I say yes. Leanne says yes.
Can you just explain it a little bit? Like,
yeah.
Do you mean like the wife always has to be the one cooking?
I would say like certain things.
You know what
like
I mean?
Domestic
okay,
is
yeah,
more,
let's talk about
I would
that.
Say domestic is more like the female thing. The outside stuff is maybe more the male things. Like,
I feel like
if you wanted to stay home and not work, like that would
like,
be
I'm like,
okay.
I want to be right here.
So
I'm
going to
be
right
in
here.
The middle.
I'm in the middle too.
Yeah, because there are certain things that I'm like, I do and... There's certain things that he does, but
I feel like
I'm not touching the trash.
Same.
So I would say yes.
That type of thing.
The only reason I'd want to say no is because, so I'm saying yes, because I would want him to be more flexible on the female stuff, but I don't want to do any of his stuff.
Right.
So it's like, yes, I would want you to help with the dishes and the laundry, but no, I'm not mowing the lawn or taking out the trash.
Oh, none of that.
So I believe it should be flexible on our side because we have more stuff.
Okay. All right.
But otherwise, I believe in, yeah. So that's why I believe in.
Okay. Next question.
Wait, I want to say why.
Yes. Why?
I feel like for me and my husband, or even with my child, I feel like in the family, in our household, everyone is like, operates in their masculine and feminine energy.
Awesome.
So it's hard because sometimes I enjoy being outside and doing yard work and sometimes Dawn does the dishes and laundry. Like it's just, it depends on how we feel and we kind of just do the teamwork thing. So.
Okay.
That's teamwork all makes the dream work. I'm 100% there for sure. Did you feel any pressure to snap back?
Yes, I did.
Pressure...
No. I didn't because no one's looking at me. So.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised by your answer, but no one was checking for me.
I didn't feel it because I was so young. So no one
Our first was.
Yeah, I had my baby.
Because you just snapped back right away. You didn't even have to think about it.
I was a fresh 20, so I'm like.
I will say I didn't know after you have a baby you still look pregnant because on TV that's not how it like happens.
And some women do look like they just like are back to normal right away. So.
Yep.
Everyone's different.
So where was your pressure coming from?
You know, being in the public eye and being an influence to my followers, I feel like you have, well, a part of me feels like I just want to be perfect.
Okay.
But at the same time, I have to be realistic to our life and how our bodies are and everyone's body is different, heals differently. So I feel like I did care and felt the pressure, but at the same time, I didn't allow it to change my mindset to being hard on myself.
Okay.
And I think it's normal to be hard on yourself because you just go through these emotions, especially having a baby. Your hormones are everywhere.
Yes.
So you're just like, you know, I just want to be happy and healthy. And I think I was just really excited to get back to my normal routine, which was important because I missed being able to be active.
Oh, yeah.
And it is nice to have everyone want to help and do things for you. But then later on, you're like, I just want to do things.
You're like,
I want to do it by myself.
Yes.
But I mean, yeah, I did feel the pressure.
So the next question. Have you ever ditched an event or plans with your friends and blamed the kids?
Oh, I have.
I
I think it's a real excuse.
Though. I'm sure I have.
I feel like I have at some point.
I'm sure I have. I'm pretty honest, but I'm like, I could imagine one day just kind of like over-serving.
Yeah, like right. It wasn't that big of a deal. Yes. Like, the kids said they needed me, but they really didn't. Yeah. And then I made it like, oh, no, I have like, to go back to the house
gone.
Right now.
Yeah, I could have definitely
that type of thing.
Yeah,
that's sure no, same. Before.
Same.
Sorry, y'all.
Definitely.
I was ready to go.
My husband's like, this is honestly the best answer you can, you know, excuse you can say because it's real.
Like, yeah. Yes, new like parent you're not lying.
Because they always need you.
Yes. You're like, I got to go, the kids.
Yeah. Kids first.
Or I don't, when I don't, that's what I do. When I don't feel like finding a sitter,
yeah.
I'll just be like, ah, I can't because I don't have a sitter. I didn't try.
What about your parents?
No, that happens. Oh, yeah, no.
Well, I don't live with, like, close to family.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. So you can't say that.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's, like,
so it's
legit.
Easy.
Yeah, dang.
Like, I'm telling you, so anybody who's heard that from me.
I know.
It's the truth.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, me next. Sorry, y'all. All right. Did your intimacy change after baby?
I would say middle.
Middle?
Yeah. I think we're on the same, like, mental direction with our intimacy. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're very honest and open about how we feel with mm-hmm. our intimacy. So yeah. I feel like it's the same, but yeah.
Okay. I think what changed
Well, we're more tired.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was literally what
we're
I was going to say.
We're just tired, so yep. I'm like, you tired, me too. Okay, good night.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And that's what it is. It's like, I'm tired. It's like,
mutual.
But if you want to.
Yeah.
You good?
You good? Okay, great. I'm not going to hold you. I'd be waiting for him to be like, I'm tired. Yeah. I'm like, good.
You gotta pretend like you're the one ready, so you're not the one always saying no. You'd be like, yeah, I
was ready.
I
was good.
And he'll be like, okay, yeah. And you'd be like, wait, no, I don't want you to force it.
If I say I'm ready, then he's immediately untired. Immediately.
Yeah,
untired.
Being tired is the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do anything. I just want to sleep.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Just lay there.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you believe it's possible for parents to parent equally?
No.
No.
I don't. No. I always say you could be the best father mm-hmm. in the world. And I'm going to say like in a two-parent household because I don't know if it's like a single father and a mother no longer exists. Mm-hmm. Then maybe he does. But in a two-parent household, no. And I don't care how much. It's just different.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I feel like everyone, especially your significant other, mm-hmm. they could be raised a different way. Everyone's just different. So you mm-hmm. kind of have to figure it out together. Yeah. And that was one thing I feel that was a challenge in our relationship was mm-hmm. figuring out the roles and the responsibilities for each other. Because for me, I'm going to end up wanting to do everything.
Yeah.
And then you will get to do, and you will get to do more than you should.
You will get to do.
And then you get a little resentful. Like, you don't want to, but you can't help it.
They're sleeping, you're like, I'm awake. 2 a.m., 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a conversation we had to have so that we can both be happy.
Yeah. You know? And I think, too, it's just never going to be equal in totality, like mm-hmm. in life, when we always say like 80-20. So there's going to be a time in life or a season where he's able to give 80 and I'm only able to give 20.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. Right now when we travel and all that stuff, I'm giving a lot less than 80 and he has to pick up the slack. And that's, we just keep flip-flopping.
I mean, that's honestly, I feel like that's what keeps a relationship happy.
Yeah.
And the fact that you guys can do that and balance each other is so important.
Because 50-50 is just...
Yeah.
I just everybody's setting themselves up for failure.
Yeah, for sure. No, I just know if I leave the house, I have prepared 100 things for him.
Yes.
If he left the house,
nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Like, you got, like, of course, like, what? You got
that, too. I didn't even think about that.
That's
like, even when I do leave, I still prep so many things.
You did the other 30% before you left.
Yep, I did. That's crazy. Yep.
That's true.
So okay, let's see. Do you believe you've mastered the work-life balance?
I feel like I'm here again. I feel like I'm still learning to balance everything because every day is so different. The baby's changing, and some nights she will be fussier than others. I feel like I'm still learning to balance everything.
Mm-hmm.
And also with our lifestyle, social media, especially with the things that go on, what's trending, what's happening, we try to balance what's the priority to talk about, what content is trending on TikTok, or we need to do this video because this is going viral. So I feel like it's just a balance of everything. And sometimes out of nowhere, things can happen with real life stuff.
Yes.
So We just try to keep up with everything and we have a good rhythm. I feel like the thing is that's really hard as a creator, you don't have a clock in, clock out situation. No. So you just can keep going.
Oh, yes.
And there was a time where I feel like I ran myself to the ground where I have no breaks. And my, even my breaks is me editing in my
phone. Especially when your partner is your husband in your family. Like,
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we had to figure out a schedule that was healthy for both of us where Monday through Friday we're working. Weekends we have to turn off our phones or just like at least put it aside and make sure we're in the presence of our, with our family and being present. So I think it's super important. And I've also learned to capture content and put my phone down and edit later.
Yes.
Does it ever make you?
I mean, I used to, but it's so refreshing to be in the moment and to just enjoy. And a lot of my family members are like, I don't know how you get this content. And then you come up with this whole video at the end.
Yeah.
Like, how are you filming? And you were here.
Yeah.
So I've just learned how to just get it and put my phone down so I can really be involved. But I feel like I've mastered it, but I'm still learning with the new lifestyle and the challenges that happen. So.
No, I said no. You know, I don't believe in work-life balance. It's like balance means even to me.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in work-life integration. You figure out how to make something work. And, you know, if I have to work more for 2 weeks and then, like, I have to figure out later on. Or maybe it never gets, because there is no balance, it doesn't get balanced later.
Yeah.
And sometimes stuff is a lot more upfront. So you can have that time later on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a work at home, you know, entrepreneur as well. So it's easy to make every single day a work day. But you can also control your schedule.
Yes.
It's when you no longer feel like you can control it. When you let your schedule start controlling
and
you.
And it happens.
And you have to remind yourself. Like, I would tell my husband all the time, I'm like, they can't do it without you. So, like, if they gotta wait, they have to wait. Mm-hmm. And if they keep going, then, you know, that might not be the thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So not being afraid of, like, losing an opportunity because you turned off.
Yes.
But you also just have to understand sometimes because you're trying to build something, I'm going to be working more than I will, you know, 2 years from now or 3 years from now. And that's got to be okay.
Right.
Yeah. I think for me, I would say I've mastered the idea of work-life balance and I am so close to really, really being strong in boundaries because that's really what it's all about is boundaries. Especially like Blair said, like being an entrepreneur, working from home and really, and you too, like never really cutting off is really about where the boundaries are and having that balance. And I love that you use the word rhythm because I use that word all the time about just having the rhythm. Sometimes the rhythm is literally like this.
Right.
And then sometimes the rhythm is like, you know, a smooth jazz type situation. So I feel like I have mastered that because I know when my life is going to be crazy and then when my life is going to be smooth.
I think, too, the journey of balancing and mastering this whole juggling situation of how we have so much is not feeling guilty taking a break.
Yes.
Because I think as, you know, an entrepreneur and someone that you just want to be the best you could be and provide and work and make sure you're doing everything you need to do to be the best version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much pressure that you put on yourself where you feel guilty to even take a break sometimes.
Yeah.
Or when you, because my mom, she's such a hard worker. I get my work ethic from my mother. And I feel like she's, because my parents and Don's mom lives with us.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they're retired. They live with us. We take care of them. But they also take care of us.
Of
they cook. Mm-hmm. They clean. They do so much and
help.
That's
great.
But seeing my mom, like, she never sits still.
Aww.
And so it makes me feel bad. I'm like, I got to get up too and, like, clean and help you because you're over here gardening and brooming. I want to blow the leaves. And I just feel like I just always want to make sure I'm doing my part. But I think the guilty part is the most important thing where we don't make ourselves feel bad about taking a break because it's so important.
Exactly.
That's
Because you would want your daughter to take a break.
Yes.
Like, even if you are running around the house, and this is probably what your mom wants for you, like, you don't want to see your daughter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm running around so you don't have to run around as much, you know?
Yeah.
But it's easy to say
she's
that.
She's literally going to just absorb that. She's going to do the same thing. Like, mommy, you make me want to work.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's so hard,
it
though, because you want to be great.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. It's like, I'm like, I'm not great yet, so I have to keep going.
Yeah.
So that's, I feel that.
I mean, that answers the next question.
Oh, my gosh, you did.
We did.
The next question literally was about, do you experience mom guilt? So
Oh, my God.
Mom guilt is so real.
Yes.
I get it. I didn't understand it before, especially I feel it when I leave the house, even for just going to the grocery store, because I just want to be with my baby. And I think maybe it's your firstborn. I don't know. Because I'm like, I feel like I just want to be there to help all the time. Because I don't know, maybe it's mom guilt leaving her.
I think it's different forms of mom guilt too. Because I will say, I will run to the grocery store without my kids. Like, I hate taking my kids to the grocery store, to Target. I don't like taking them out to the stores and stuff. I'm excited.
You also have three kids.
Yes,
I do. I have one.
Yes.
But it's my first.
It's different, like, you know, it's different levels to the mom.
For sure.
For sure.
No. Yeah. Even my first, I did not want to take them anywhere. But I had, like, postpartum anxiety. Yeah. I was going to say, part of it's also, like, an evolutionary pool.
Yeah.
Like, you're still in your postpartum period. Like, you, so that means you have hormones running through you that keep you close to your
baby.
Child. And, like, other hormones, like, if you're depression or anxiety, you can feel like you don't want to be or others. Yeah. So it's like an evolutionary bind that wants you close to your daughter. So there's, you know.
I think I'll feel better when she can communicate better.
Oh, yes.
So I can understand, because she's, Zaya is a little, I wouldn't say a hard baby, but a very particular baby.
Okay.
She likes to be held a certain way.
Oh,
she I feel like
she likes to face
my
out.
Mommy knows, and my mom does too. Mm-hmm. And it's funny and interesting to live with my mom with my baby, because I'm the baby of the family, and her baby had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So her parenting and also teaching me, and I'm like, I want to do it this way, and she's like, well, you came out fine, and it's just
that is the conversation of generations.
Yes. So, I mean, there are obviously pros and cons living with your family, but it's so much of a blessing for me and Dawn. So I, you know, feel that it's just the best situation for us, because even when I leave, I don't feel as bad, because I know that they're watching and spending time with her. So you figure it out.
Especially, like you said, before they can speak. I think that's one thing that did get to me.
Yeah.
Because
you're like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
At what age is it that they can really express?
Every child is different.
Okay.
My first child, she was speaking at like 10 and a half months.
Oh,
like, she was full sentences before she was one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then my second child didn't really talk for real until she was like 2.5.
Wow.
And then my third, same as my first.
Wow.
He was talking by one.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. See, every
so it varies.
Different.
But I understand that, because if you leave them, if something happens, you want them to be able to
explain and express themselves, for sure.
Exactly. So last question, and then we are done with the game. Do you still prioritize girl time, or do you seldom get to enjoy it?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
How do you do that? I said yes.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
this past year.
You've been doing
year.
Great.
Yeah, I've been doing really great.
Well, this is my girl time right now.
Yeah.
I prioritize it.
Yes.
Yes.
And I come from a family with three girls. I have two older sisters, and I have such an amazing bond with my girls, and also a lot of my girls have kids.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So we all come together and do dinners, and there's been a lot of birthdays. So I feel like becoming a mom, I move with more intention and purpose, where my time has to make sense.
Yes.
Or else it's going to hurt, or I'm sleeping.
Yes.
Because I don't get no sleep.
That's
yes.
So
I love that.
I feel like me and the girls do try to prioritize our best to have dinners or even movie nights. So I feel like it is important.
That's
you know,
good.
My girls are important to me.
I
try.
That. Yes. That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you, because you are, you know, the social media influencer. You ran down the list of all the things that you do. But what is something that your audience doesn't get to see often, or something that you would love to talk about more, but you don't get to talk about as often as you would like?
You know, I grew up in a Christian household. My dad was a pastor.
Wow.
And I actually like talking about my faith, talking about just my faith walk, honestly.
Yeah,
like social media, there's so many other things that we talk about, but no one really asks about that part.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I talk about it a little bit, people, it's just not like the hot topic, but I would love to talk about it more, because I feel like it's a big part of my life growing up and living out here in LA. That was my number one thing, is my faith. So
that's a good thing. Well, you got two Christian girlies over here.
You do.
I'm going to ask, like, how do you stay focused on it, especially in somewhere like LA, especially?
It is a challenge, because moving to LA, there's so many distractions, and you just want to especially make and build relationships with different people. And I feel like the most important thing to me, moving out to LA is making sure that you focus on your purpose and not letting anyone or anyone take you away from what you know that you want. I feel like when you come to LA, you gotta already know what you wanna do.
And who you are.
Yes, who you are and being okay with who you are and expressing who you are to the people that you meet. But at the same time, you know, you realize, you meet people, you go through experiences that can also shift and change your mindset, but also staying true to who you are through that experience. Because, you know, you think about it, you're not the same person you were a year ago,
two years ago, 3 years ago. At all.
So being yourself is always a challenge too, because you're evolving constantly and experiences always change you and your perspective in life. And being a mom, it's like, I feel like I care so much more about the most important things that I didn't really think about before, like the respect that I have more for my mom. I'm like, you've been doing things for me before I can remember. I think church, having a good circle of friends, and being consistent with whatever you feel that helps you stay grounded. If it's hanging out with your friends that and going to Bible study or church or journaling. I think it's just important to do those things that keep you grounded, because there's going to be times where you'll be pulled so many ways and you just have to make sure you're aligned. And I think that was what helped me
stay focused. Did you ever get off the walk? Because especially being a PK, like sometimes you fight against it.
I for sure have. And I think that you feel that conviction in your heart where you're like, you know what? I don't feel right. And God will tell you in certain circumstances and conversations where this isn't really me. You know, and I feel also I've been judged, and some of my family members are like, oh, you're a Christian girl. Why are you going to LA? This is the most, like, this is the devil's playground. Why are you here? And my dad was the biggest supporter for that and expressing to me, saying, you know, you are a light and you have to go to a dark place to be a light.
Jesus was hanging out with all the people.
With like, all the folks.
If you're just in church
here.
With all the other people.
No
like,
judgment.
Well,
yeah. So I think that's... that's what I would have to say.
Well, I would ask you, though, you said you want to talk about it more. Is there something that kind of hinders you from talking about it more, where you feel like because there's such judgment or because maybe it's not the hot topic that you kind of shy away from it? Or even the fact that, like, I think, too, there is some cookie cutter version of what people think a Christian woman is supposed to look like. And so we get this idea in our head, and then when we see something different, it's like, it's kind of shocking. But I would say, I would think that if people saw you talk more about it, you would inspire women who are like, oh my gosh, she looks like me. And so this is possible.
It can also scare people away. Like, because Christianity's like had such a negative like feeling sometimes to people.
Growing up, I remember, so I grew up in a Christian school, then I went to a public school in freshman year.
Me too.
But I used to be like talking to my dad. I'm like, Dad, I just want to talk to her about God, and she doesn't want to talk about it. And my dad's like, you can't.
You were
force
evangelizing.
People.
Yes,
and
come on, evangelist.
I've learned you can't bang people on the Bible. Your example is who you are, and what you reflect is just the reflection of what you want to teach. So I'm just like, I don't have to say his name if I'm just living this lifestyle and sharing it. And then eventually, hopefully, like even someone wants to talk about it, you talk about it. But I've been freely talking about it on social media here and there. Again, I don't want to be a preacher. That's not like, I feel that that's my calling in that situation. But I always try to sneak it in conversations where I feel that can be relatable and helpful for people that are searching for that kind of light or conversation. But for my content, I try to always showcase love, showcase just being a good person and showcasing the love that I have for my family. And just reflecting through example.
I think if more people do that, I think, you know, we can make Jesus cool, you know?
Yeah, like, Jesus he is cool.
Because I think also, like, people have been so anti-religion because they think, oh, they're so judgmental. They're this. And it's like, oh, you didn't know? Like, I'm Christian and I love you.
I love you. And that's why we do what we do, even on our platform. Like, everybody know if you've been following us for a while, we love the Lord.
It's
very important and to be able to show that it doesn't have to look a certain way.
Yes.
And we are the light. And, you know, whatever you think is different about us is because we know the Lord.
It's the light.
I'll say we're faith-based, not necessarily faith-forward. Like, you know, unless God says, talk about it the entire time. But otherwise, you're going to get it.
Yes.
It's going to come out differently for different people. You mentioned you're not even the same person as you were a year ago. So let's talk about your evolution over the last 10 years. You worked, was it at a car dealership or
something? I worked so many jobs. The car dealership was the last job I was working before I did social media. But yeah.
And so like from there to now, like could you have imagined it? And then how do you think you've gotten here?
You know, so looking back, thinking about the Leanne that just moved out here, I mean, this whole journey was a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. It was never smooth. I feel that I've always been discovering myself in every chapter of my life. And I think that when I moved out here, I remember this was before social media. The main advice was like, you just got to go out there. You got to network. You got to network. And how do you network? You just go to these events and you have to go to these red carpet events and dance classes, acting classes. It's just so many things that you want to put your foot in the door so that you can build relationships. Mm-hmm. So that's what I pretty much did at first, just till I found something that clicked with me. Mm-hmm. Because when you come to LA, you just have stars in your eyes. Like, I'm here.
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. I'm going to make my dreams a reality. Mm-hmm. This is what God is calling me to do.
Yeah.
You're just so excited. And then it hits you real quick. Reality. It is not easy. There's
God
so
gave
many
everybody
people.
The same dream.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm like, dang, this girl's talented to this person. And it's like, it feels like what people were saying growing up. They're like, it's too much of a competition when you move to LA. It's not realistic. You're going to come back and move back to Modesto. Mm-hmm. So again, my faith really helped me stay focused. And I felt that this is my purpose. And I'm going to really succeed and figure it out, whether if it takes me however long it takes me. My mom was like, let's just think of it as a college trip where you go for a few years and come right back if it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Oh,
but
wow.
They still supported me, especially being Filipino. Mm-hmm. I know my Filipinos can feel me because they want you to be a nurse or a doctor, anything in the medical field. Yeah. And I just didn't feel like that was what my heart wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so, again, moving out here, taking all these classes, my first job was Island Burger. Which I loved it because I got some free fries. I was able to get that. And then also Volcano, then a tanning salon job. Then I was an independent contractor delivering totes and boxes from the airport. It's just so many different
people
things.
People do not know who they got boxes from.
Wow. My goodness.
And I got to do red carpet hosting. I was able to do, what else? I've just done so many different things in the industry people.
Oh, boy.
So from a hopeful dreamer to a go-getter, really focusing and working so hard and facing my fears like head on. I'm like, I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to fake it till I make it. Because I remember YouTube, I was doing YouTube and it's so crazy because I used to do just this and pretend I'm getting interviewed from someone. So I'll be looking like this like, yeah. Oh, for that question, you know, and now I'm really getting interviews, which is really cool. But I used to fake my interviews to make it seem as I was, you know, a somebody.
Oh my goodness.
So
you're preparing. Fake it till you make it. Like you said, fake it till you make it.
And so doing that and trying to understand the industry and meeting different producers. And I mean, I just love the creative art of just everything in Hollywood, but it does come with something. You know, you got to figure out, you know, what you want. And so I was working a part-time at the dealership in Burbank as a car salesman. And on the weekends, I was touring as a backup singer for this artist, Dev, which was an amazing opportunity for me because I was traveling. That was my first time I went to the Philippines and traveled and performed. Aww. So I was able to have these opportunities traveling and just, you know, living this dream, enjoying to do, you know, things outside of an office. I always wanted to just be creative and, you know, just do what I enjoy doing.
Right.
And so from then on, I remember from the dealership, my lunch break, I'd run and do Vine videos at my friend's house.
Y'all remember Vine?
So Vine was pretty much what allowed me to accumulate millions of followers, which overflowed to Instagram. And there was no TikTok at the time. It was called Musical.ly.
Oh, yes! That's what I remember. Okay,
Musical.ly.
That's what me and Layla used to do.
And Musical.ly was fun, too.
It was a fun
time. I just remembered every app that came out, I'm going to go on it, and I'm going to try to just build a following. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just that hustle inside me allowed me to be able to build the following. And I don't want to fast forward to now, but through that journey, just constant videos, being consistent with content, and really being intentional with what I want my viewers to watch me for. Like, okay, I want to do beauty. I want to do fashion. So I'm going to start incorporating that. And even though I didn't know how to do makeup, I literally had to teach myself how to do makeup. No, girl, I did not.
You know how to make it to makeup. Yeah. You were doing.
No, I'm like, she did this. Okay, I'm going to do that wing too and figure it out.
Come on.
So literally, I just figured it out and took one step at a time. And that's pretty much how I got here. It's just there's so many different opportunities that God will open doors for you when you allow yourself to just go for it.
So I think that's like proof though, because we always get a bunch of questions from moms that are like, how do I know when to start and how to do it? Really, it sounds like you didn't think too hard. You just went for it.
And you know, that's the thing about faith too. Yes. I was saying you just have to just have faith and trust in God and also trust in yourself. If you feel that it's something right for you, you'll know if it's right or wrong. Yeah. And even if you make mistakes, there are some things that I've, you know, experienced, like, oh, I could have done this, but everything happens for a reason. I'm a strong believer in that. And I mean, if you make a mistake, you learn from it. So I think everything has its purpose.
Now, as far as all of your things that you've been doing and all the work that you have done and goals and passions and going after all of those things, now that you're a mom, has that changed at all? Is your passion a little bit stronger, or do you feel like you're ready to pull back so that you can focus on your, you know, your daughter? What's it like now?
I'm definitely more driven. Okay. I'm more hungry. I'm more creative because I'm like, this is great content that I can share because now I'm a mom. I can relate to moms out there.
You couldn't fake the mom part.
Like, I couldn't fake that.
And it's so fun. Like, me and my husband have so much fun doing content, especially with my daughter. We're doing, and it's so annoying when people are like, oh my God, your daughter, you're making her work already. And it's she's not doing anything but being
cute.
She's
being herself.
Yes, exactly.
But she loves the camera too. Yeah. She's, anytime I put like the phone up, she'll try to get in front and just play with my phone. Like I can feel that she enjoys it. Yeah. You know, so I've just been so much more hungrier and driven ever since I've had a baby.
I love that.
Yeah.
How do you and your husband focus on your relationship? Because when you work with somebody, and I've realized that working with my husband, it's so easy to make everything about work, and you think your relationship might be strong or what have you, because we talk all the time. We're around each other all the time, and then you realize, like, but it's a lot of work.
We've had this conversation actually not that long ago, maybe like a few weeks ago, and it's like you have to constantly remind your partner that you have to remember to have romance. You have to communicate your feelings. We have our check-ins, like, how are you feeling? And also making sure we balance our us time. Even when, you know, we're tired, we try to at least even having dinner at the house, just you and me, and maybe having my parents look after her. It's definitely been a challenge that we're still learning and juggling and, you know, trying to balance the time that we have together. But we just enjoy being together with my daughter. Yeah. It's like our us time, we'll get it when we can. But at the same time, we have to make priority.
Exactly.
But for what we do at home, you know, we're so blessed to work from home. So we have the freedom to be able to have that us time and have our family time. But we just communication and just really understanding each other's feelings. And I'm so grateful my husband's so good at listening to me when I do feel like there's something that I'm feeling. So it's not perfect. We have our, you know, discussions.
Nobody
but
is.
For the most part, it's good that we communicate through everything.
Well, that makes sense. So I was going to also ask, one thing that really impressed me about you was when you broke up with your husband. Like when you were dating and you broke up with him. And I thought that was like such a strong stance. Like obviously it wasn't easy, but what made you like, we're going to break up? Like, I'm not just going to forgive you and we're going to keep moving.
In relationships, especially in Hollywood, you meet people in the industry that are beautiful and talented. And I feel like it's so hard to find something so pure and real in the Hollywood industry because everyone's always looking for the latest, the greatest, the youngest, the richest. Like, it's just so much competition. But when you do find someone that has the same morals and values and also loves you for who you are, and you know that that person's a good person, you know, you want to connect with that person, you end up building a relationship, which is with Don. It's interesting because I met him when he got off America's Next Top Model. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he's so probably conceited and all this. And we were friends for 3 years before mm-hmm. we started dating. And through our relationship, I think the challenge was when someone that is in the industry with you, they live this lifestyle that is one foot in, one foot out, I feel, because it's hard to transition from being a person that is in the industry living this lifestyle. Don was a rapper. He's yeah. out clubbing and all that stuff. Oh. And then for him to transition to becoming a committed husband, yeah. especially not having a male role model in his yes. life and not having the proper guidance, mm-hmm. he has these habits and the generational curses. Mm-hmm. And these are things that I had to learn after I broke up with mm-hmm. Don as to why he is the way he is and how we the arguments that we had faced. And, you know, is it me? Is there something wrong all with me? I don't understand. Yeah. You know, I thought I was a great girlfriend. Mm-hmm. All these things can happen and cause you to question so many things. But there comes a point in your life where you're with somebody, and if it's just, if something is not working mm-hmm. and you're just unhappy about something or break the trust, you get fed up. You get yeah. to a point yeah. where you're like, I'm done. Yeah. It's over. I'm out. And sometimes it takes time to get to that point.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've had girlfriends where from the outside looking in, like, girl, you need to leave this toxic relationship.
Yeah.
But they will not leave until they've had enough. So
exactly.
it's like.
Yeah. And everybody's enough is
yeah,
is
it's different. Yeah. And some people are honestly settle and okay with it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. and I always want to make sure that I am a great influence and give hope to girls out there that you can step out of something that you feel so deep in. I felt like I dug myself in a hole and I couldn't mm-hmm. get out. And especially with Don, we were together for 4 years before we broke up. And my mom was so invested, our families, yeah. everything.
And that makes it harder
and
to
I'm like,
yeah.
we lived together mm-hmm. and,
you're
you
like,
know,
oh,
but
this
to
is
make
a lot.
The decision, I just said, you know what? I love me too much mm-hmm. to mm. allow things to be the way they are. And I'm going to leave
yeah.
and I'm
good
out.
For you.
So it took a lot for me to get to that point, but you know when enough is enough when you get yeah. to that point.
Yeah, I think it's just really important not to, you know, take somebody back because they've done all these things.
Right.
And it seems like they did it because of just you.
Right,
and
right.
Because I think it's like, okay, did you change for you or did you change for me? Because
yeah. right.
how long is this change going to last?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
And you know, I think for me, I wasn't so focused on him when we broke up. It was more so that I discovered self-love. Like, I know I love myself, but no, I feel mm-hmm. like I truly didn't love myself because there were things in the relationship that mm-hmm. I was accepting that, oh,
yes.
I don't know my worth.
Mm.
I can't allow this to, you know, keep happening. And I feel like he proposed actually that same year and then mm. I broke up with him. So even mm-hmm. when he proposed,
wow.
I'm like, I don't even know is this supposed to be the way I feel? I'm unsure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't feel 100% sure.
Yeah.
And it's completely normal. They say you can kind of have some questions and doubts.
Right.
But I just knew in my heart, I just wasn't sure. Because again, I feel like our relationship, we were happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel like we were completely ready for marriage.
Right.
And there were things that I feel that Don needed to clean up in his life of habits and, again, generational curses. And
mm-hmm.
I think that the hardest things to do is unlearn a lot of the things that
yeah.
we were taught
yes.
in the generational things that, you know, we've experienced in life. And so I said, you know what? I'm really going to focus on myself. I'm going to focus on self-love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to really take care of me.
Yeah,
and through the months of our breakup, we both had the same counselor that we were working with.
Oh,
and
nice.
He's been working. Shout out to Tony Gaskins.
Yes.
He's amazing. He's definitely helped and guide me through my experiences of just the breakup time. And breakups are always so hard because you feel so much. You're sad, you're happy,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you're, you know, there's just so many emotions. And then at the same time, everyone still talks about it because they're asking, how are you?
Say,
and they
yeah.
bring it up.
Yeah.
And it took me 3 months to finally share on social media. I feel like
mm-hmm.
I owe that to them because they've been so supportive and invested in
yeah.
our relationship where I have to say it. And
yeah.
so,
you're going to date publicly. I
yeah.
like,
they
I
break
need to
up
know.
Publicly.
And
know.
People notice. They're
yeah.
like, how come you don't post with him anymore?
Because
yeah.
like, they're not together.
So,
girl,
but
they probably know when
you
brush
though,
your teeth.
Because I think as a woman, everybody wants to be married. Everybody
mm-hmm.
wants to get proposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to have a man that's trying.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
so to have that in front of you and still be like, no, this is still not right. Kudos, because
thank you.
I think it inspires women who are like, okay, no, I know what I feel in my gut.
Yes.
I'm trying to ignore it and lie to myself.
Yeah.
But like, no, you actually did it and you waited.
It's so hard because I at the same time, I feel like I don't hate anyone, but I hated him. So it allowed me okay with this breakup. Yeah. And even when he was working with my counselor and he'll kind of tell me like, hey, you talked to Don? I'm like, no. He's like, well, just to let you know, he's writing a book. He's actually doing this now.
Great.
He's actually having,
amazing.
And I'm like, that's cool. I don't care.
Yeah.
But the time when we had cross paths again was for his book launch, and my parents wanted to go, and our friends are still each other's friends. So fast forward to 7 months later, we ended up going. My mom was like, please, can we just stop by? So we stopped by, and you know, we saw the book. He also asked permission before, messaged and asked, like, do you mind if I share our story? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, I don't care.
Right.
So when we were there, I remember him doing a public apology, and I just… Mm-hmm. It was such a powerful apology that it takes a lot, and it takes a lot of balls for a man to apologize in
publicly.
And to be okay with, you know, being so transparent. And so I really appreciated that, you know, about him and what he did. And I did see, you know, the work that he's put in, but I still wasn't like sold out or even wanting to get back to him.
He's like, that was cute.
Good for you.
Little tear, bye.
So it had to be God to truly bring us back together because I was ready to just completely be okay without seeing him ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But again, after that, through time, he talked about even, I want to date you again. I'm a whole new man. I want to take you out. And we were just starting from scratch.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was a whole new person. And he quit drinking. He stopped smoking. He doesn't go out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, even if a man says that they'll stop doing that, it's really important that they don't do it for you again, like you said, for themselves. He has no desire for that. And that's, I feel like, you know, it was nice that he genuinely didn't want to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And until this day.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been sober since then, which I'm so proud of him because
that's
really…
Congrats.
He did the work. That's also God.
Yeah.
I feel like God
I'd be
really,
like, if you want to drink, if you want to do all the things, do them.
Enjoy them.
Without me.
Yes, without me.
Right.
And that's fine.
Right.
But don't pretend for me because the moment I'm not enough for you, you're going to go back to those things. Well, I've been doing all this stuff to win you back into to love you and you're still acting like this.
Because then they hang it over your head.
Yes.
Because
I did it for
psychology.
You. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah. And then
they're not doing anything for you. They're gaslighting you.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And being public was also tough because… A lot of people have their opinions and a lot of people feel entitled.
They're like, oh, you
like
should have taken back type thing. Do people say that?
Oh my God,
I'm sure
so much.
To this day.
Till this day, they're like, they're married with a kid. Where was
they
I?
They don't want them to be happy.
You know, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you just have to do what makes you happy.
Of course.
Just, you know, I think that was really what we focused on. Because when I remember we were in Hawaii and we're like, we're going to post a video. Are you ready? Like, this is it. We're going to share everyone that we're back together. And I remember it was Valentine's Day and… Mm-hmm. The comments made me so sad because a lot of people were so either disappointed, but there's a lot of handful of people that were so happy too. So I just, you know, you can't please everyone.
Yeah,
and
no.
I've just, again.
So you still read the comments?
Of course I do. You guys are the reason why I'm here. I do read comments. I do try my best to reply to everyone. I just don't like to reply to the negative comments.
Yeah.
I give more energy to the positive.
Yeah.
My parents will be the ones to come for y'all. So.
She said, look, I have them on deck.
And I'm
so
like,
I don't
mom,
need
you
to
said
it.
What? You can't say that.
She said, but I said it, so I guess I can.
Right.
What would you say to someone who is actually going through, you know, a breakup or really just kind of, they know they need to leave, but they're not ready?
I created a whole plan for me because…
Oh, I thought you meant for the girls.
No,
I was like,
no.
For
me,
wow.
When I broke up, I'm like, okay, this is what's going to help me. Because I know when I start wanting to fall back.
Mm-hmm.
So first, I remember I wrote myself a love letter.
Aww.
So literally writing yourself like, dear Leanne, you know your worth, you're beautiful, you're strong. Like all the amazing things that you are, you write it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you feel weak, you read it to yourself as if you're reading it from
that.
Someone. Two, I made a playlist of all the I'm single and I'm not going back and all the breakup songs, put a playlist because songs will make you miss somebody.
So. Yeah.
So it's like, I need to have that counter.
The playlist, also your friends, a circle of people that support and love you.
Yeah.
And it was so horrible because when we broke up, it was 2020 and I literally was in Mexico. Like, we're about to travel. I'm about to be out.
And then you're about to be in the house thinking about this every day.
Right. Exactly. So I feel like that was God forcing me
to
really face my feelings and heal.
Yeah.
Because that's not masking my feelings if I'm just going out and turning up with my girls. Like, it's just not, it's not the best way. But, you know, I feel like it was honestly such a healing journey and focusing on self-love. Mm-hmm. And also this helps too. I don't know if it helps for everybody, but I would write a list of things why I shouldn't go back to that person or what they did to me did not let me go back. So if I ever missed my ex or something, I'd say, okay, he did this, that,
what this. It's like, what do you miss, girl?
Yes.
So you write yourself a reminder of why you guys broke up in the first place, because we'll easily forget. When
Especially as soon as you miss them,
you
guys
so
live together,
you remember
you
all
have
the
that
good
person.
Stuff.
Yep.
And you do not see them.
You have amnesia all of a sudden.
You, you have, I really had to make it clear that you cannot come and see me, even if you say you forgot something at the house. I'll leave and have my mom like give it to him. Like, I just really made sure there were boundaries. And what else?
I'd have been like, oh, I'm upstairs. Like, I'm you go downstairs looking over.
And blocking, I guess. I blocked him. But
everyone
has their own levels of healing. And I think those are the things that helped me. So,
I think you set a good example for your daughter. Like, I know you weren't even thinking about children.
Because one day she's going to have her first breakup. And you're going to be like, I got you, girl. I got a plan.
Yes.
Exactly. So I got the plan. I got to follow the plan.
My daughter having a boyfriend.
I know. It's crazy.
I literally cried the first week having her. And I'm like, she's going to one day get married. Oh, my God, Dawn.
Yes.
It's so wild.
Yes.
No, my stepdaughter has a boyfriend now.
Oh,
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Yeah.
I love it.
He looks like Soulja Boy.
So cute.
What?
With no tattoos.
Oh, my God.
No tattoos. Aww. That's what it looks like to me. But, yeah, that's so weird.
That's so
weird.
That's so cute.
Did you tell her that? Well, she didn't. She knows
I told
now.
Her dad. Yeah, I'll probably tell her. Later.
Like
I just found out
here,
today.
Guys,
oh, you did?
Yeah,
you heard it here first.
Wow. Yes.
You heard it here first.
Did your goals change after you got... So you guys get back together, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, he did the work for himself. Mm-hmm. They got back together. They did get married and had a fabulous, fabulous wedding.
Thank you.
Did any of your goals change once you got married? Because, you know, you've been hustling so hard for like a decade and it's like Leanne wants to do this and do this, but now you're a partnership. And I know you guys work together, but like...
I feel that our goals, I think what's so beautiful for me and my husband, we have very similar goals. We have the same end goal. You know, we definitely have had conversations about our, you know, our direction in life, because I feel like, you know, you want to be with your purpose mate, someone that also supports your goals. And Dawn has always been really understanding and supportive to whatever I want to focus on, whether if it's beauty or fashion. And now being a mom, like we juggle everything. And again, I feel like we shift and change what we want to focus on depending on the season of things. And my goals, I feel, are still the same. I just still want to be successful and continue living life with happiness and purpose. And I think for me, doing what you love for a living is success.
That's what I was going to ask.
Being
happy, what's successful? How do you know?
Being at peace is success to me.
Yeah.
And everyone has different definitions of success, but to me, that's what it is. And especially having a baby, again, our priorities have changed so much. Everything is about our family and our daughter. And I just enjoy it so much because now I can really utilize, you know, everything that I'm going through as topics and conversations and content. So whatever I'm struggling with, I add it and apply it to what we're doing in our life. So it changes. You know, now that we have a baby, now it's baby stuff.
You know,
so yeah.
Well, last question. What do you think moms actually need to hear?
You know, now being a mom, I think that what I feel they need to hear is that you're doing an amazing job. You're doing an amazing job. For you to question if you are being a good mom shows that you are a good mom. And a lot of moms are so hard on themselves, especially me sometimes. And I think that when you hear someone actually just acknowledge, you know, the work that you do and the love that you give, it's just, you're an amazing mom is what I want to say.
I love
that. Before we go, is there anything on your heart or anything on your mind that you want to get out that you haven't been able to say?
You know, I feel like I've expressed everything of that, but at the end of the day, I just, happiness, you know, is priority. I feel like a lot of people get so invested in everyone's opinions in social media, mm-hmm. and bullying is real. Mm-hmm. I think that the comments can really get to you. For anyone that is wanting to be a creator, I think that when you know that you feel whatever's in your heart is what you want to do, don't let anyone shift you away from that. And do not take the comments personal. And if you're not doing anything right, I feel like that's when like comments will come. Like, you know, you're doing something right if you got all the comments coming at you.
That's true.
The haters are real fans, really. So don't be discouraged.
Wanted engagement.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the responsibility of being a creator is you will get all the crazy comments and opinions. And again, that's how you just have to be grounded in God and your faith and your family, because everyone's always going to have something to say. So give them something to talk about.
Period.
Period.
That's how you end.
That's how you end
it. That is
how you end the episode. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. You girls are amazing.
Yeah. Thank you.
And congratulations, you know, for doing this amazing podcast. Mm-hmm. This is so beautiful and empowering for women. So.
Thank you. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well,
Hey, moi, what's up?